Morning. Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church. It's a beautiful day outside, and I'm glad you took the opportunity to come worship with us this morning. And I'd like to welcome all those out in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot listening on the radio, we welcome you too. And just got a couple quick announcements. We're going to be lunching right after the service. And if you signed up for the Experience the God class, we're going to meet right over here in the corner just for a few minutes right after service. So with that, the rest of the announcements are in the bulletin. And if you need anything, we've got a little tear out here. If you need anything at all, just take and fill that out and give it to one of the people in the back, and we'll see what we can do to help you out. So with that, let's all bow our heads and have a quick word of prayer, and we'll get on with our service. So, Father God, as we just humbly bow, I just want to thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day outside, and it's a beautiful day to be in your house. And we welcome you to come in here and be with us and love on us like you always do. Just be with us, the preacher, and as he preaches the message you've laid upon his heart. And we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let's all stand and sing a couple songs here. Let's stand and sing number 4, To God Be the Glory. Number 4. Stand amazed in the presence. I-47.
Thank you. aspiring congregation. All right, if you would, just briefly, stand with me for just a second. Find somebody you ain't seen in a while and tell them how good it is to have them today and how much you love them. Maybe somebody you ain't never seen before. You can go find them and love on them. Okay, if you've done more than three, you're pushing it now. If you're watching by Facebook or you're listening by the radio this morning, it's good to be with you. But do you hear all what's going on here right now? You hear all that? That's fellowship, loving on one another. And we would love to have you come and be with us so that we can love on you a little bit. If you do have any prayer needs watching by Facebook or listening by the radio, you can send us an email or just post it on our Facebook, whatever it is you post that on, and we'll do our best to pray with you. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to say that it's a privilege for us to have you and that you've allowed us to be a part of your worship experience. And inside of your bulletin, there's a little information sheet. If you only feel comfortable putting your name on that, I appreciate that. But I feel it's my responsibility now to pray for you. And I'll make a promise to you. We won't try to sell you nothing, okay? You might get a text saying how much it is, how much thankful we are to have you here. But if you would fill that out and hand it to me or one of the ushers as you go out, we have an information packet that we would like to get to you and tell you a little bit about our church. But if you don't remember anything else about today or Thomas Village Baptist Church, remember this. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He's ready and willing to do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Amen? As you're turning in your Bible to the book of John chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 2, do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. What's the old song? He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. Anyone else? How y'all like my tie this morning? That's a good looking tie, ain't it? That's Brother Bill DeBoer's tie. And Sister Julie let me wear it. But ain't that neat how it ties us all the way back to the foundation of this church? Isn't that good? It's good to look back, but you know what? Better days is ahead. The good old days are good, but the great days are yet to come. And that's what we're focusing on, and we're thanking. I thank you, Sister Julie, for letting me wear it. I think it looks good on me. Brother Bill was tall. Maybe that made me a little bit taller, too. Anyone else got a word of praise? It's good to see you. And got a new phone. did you really? Well, take the new one back. Yeah. 70s and 80s children, did you ever think you'd pay $1,000 for a phone? It's nothing to do that anymore. You know, I watched this video last night and a guy was in a sail. He was flying in this like hang glider thing and dropped it and it flashed up there. $1,200. Is what it fell down there. Hoo-wee, man alive. He shouldn't have never took it up there is what I said. But we are thankful for every one of you being here today. And also for those of you that came yesterday and helped spruce up the place, we're grateful for that. Still got some things we're wanting to do outside. Lord willing, we'll get that done this week. But in thinking about that, don't forget our women's conference that's coming up September the 19th. 14th. Daggone it. I don't know why I say 19th. The 14th. That's right. Hey, I'm consistent. We also want to remind you that on August the 30th, that's a Wednesday night, the youth and Sister Betsy are going to be coming together to decorate the float for Duffield Days. So don't forget about that. Do be praying for Sister Betsy. She took a spill last night and fell into the fire and burned herself up in certain areas. So just remember to keep her in your prayers, okay? But her and my wife got to know each other a little better through it. So we thank God for that. And then if you're visiting with us, no way do we expect it, but we just remind you that there is this place to give out in the vestibule. We don't want to rob you of giving your tithe or giving a gift to the Lord. So any other words of praise, maybe an answered prayer this morning? Amen. Amen. He's dancing lighter today, ain't you, brother? Brother Johnny?
Yes, I have prayed before.
Amen. Hallelujah. And we're grateful that Sister Nancy is with us this morning, and she didn't get beat up no worse. I told them I fell and got bruised up, and now we're just passing it on down the line there. But in honor of God's Word, if you would stand with me this morning, if you can. If you can't, the Lord understands, and so do we. But if I had a title for this morning's sermon, it would be Essentials of Knowing Christ Jesus as Your Lord and Savior. Essentials of Knowing Christ Jesus as Your Lord and Savior. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 30. These are the words of Christ Jesus. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Yea, sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from men, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was burning, and he was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do. Bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life eternal. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Now, this is a well-known passage of Scripture here. For by grace are ye saved. Read it with me, okay? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You may be seated. The essentials of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be in your house today. Lord, it's good to feel just the excitement, just the joy of being with your people. And God, right now, I thank you, God, that you've called me here to Thomas Village, and there's not another place I'd rather be at this morning. And God, I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins and my failures. And I pray you give me the ability for the task at hand, because, Lord, in and of myself, I am inadequate to it. And I'm not worthy of being the vessel that you would use. But God, I ask you today to let your Spirit breathe through this place. Holy Spirit, right now, take this word and give it life. And let it just, as it says in the parable, let it be seeds that are sown within our heart. And Lord, that it will bring forth fruits worthy of our Savior. God, Father, I pray that you be glorified today. Let our hearts and minds be focused over these next few minutes. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. The essentials of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just kindly to set up the scene, what we just read. You remember where Jesus heals the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And you remember how it was said that the waters would tremble once a year or certain times in a year when the angels would come down. And Jesus goes down there one day, and out of all the people, you know, there had to be thousands at least. If you've ever watched The Chosen, I believe it renders a good scene there as what's happening, as we see many are grappling to get to the pool, and they're crawling on top of each other. And yet, only one could have it. But that day, Jesus comes through, and this man who had been there, it says for 30-some, he had been lame for 30-some-odd years. That day, he has an experience with Christ Jesus. Saying that, don't forget, we've got our meeting the day after service, looking forward to that class. But he has an experience with Christ Jesus there at the pool of Bethesda, and he is never the same again. And guess where he's found just a few chapters later? He's found in the temple. He's praising God for what has happened in his life. And there's people there that's asking him, well, who did this? How did this happen? Blah, blah, blah. You know how it is when something amazing happens in your life. And Jesus goes there. And he tells the man, and he says to him, now, do you best not to sin anymore. Because if you do, something worse may fall upon you. And then the people there at the temple, probably led by the religious crowd, no doubt they've been led by the religious crowd, begin to question Jesus. And they begin to say, well, how dare you do this on a Sabbath? How dare you act like the law doesn't pertain to you? They begin to persecute and ridicule him. They begin to reject his will. They begin to reject the mercy and the grace and the love that he has shown that day. And instead, they interject their own religious views, their religious ways. And it says that they sought to kill him. You see how religion can be directly opposed to what the Lord Jesus is about? We have to be careful about religion. Praise God, it's not about religion. It's about faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ. I almost titled this message this morning, and this one has been a thought all this week. I didn't know it was going to be a message until I got here this morning. I almost entitled it, Steps in Receiving Jesus Christ as Your Lord and Savior. But as I thought more and I prayed and I read, I thought differently. Because I've used, you know, the ABCs of salvation. Admit, believe, and confess. And I also love the Romans Road. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 9 through verse 13. Those are awesome. And I enjoy, and it's a helpful tool when you use them. Matter of fact, I've used them together when you're trying to show someone what the Bible says about eternal security, eternal salvation, and what it means to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's awesome. But if we're not careful, what happens when we use methods like that is it almost becomes a checklist. You see what I'm saying? Well, if you do this check, did you do this check, did you do this check, did you parrot or repeat the prayer there at the end? Well, then guess what? You get your get out of hell free card. And see, I'm not, today, as we talk about, that's why I wanted it to be the essentials of salvation. Not the steps, because you know what? Salvation is completely 100% all God. We have no part in it except to simply surrender. That's all. That's all it is. You know, we read just right there, one of the men I read behind this week says this, if not careful, we can focus so much on the human side or what the individual must do that the divine work of God is almost completely ruled out and salvation is made up of human achievement. Like climbing a ladder, you know what I mean? You climb this one, you get to climb this one, and then you get to the pinnacle, and at the pinnacle, you've got your salvation. Oh, but again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and following. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and this not of your own. But it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk in. You see, I learned mine from the King James Version. I know that one throwed you off a little bit there this morning. And see, today I'm not here to discourage you if you've walked through the ABCs or if you've been down the Romans road. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God that you have. But I'm here to say that I believe today that there are many sitting in a Baptist pew, a Methodist pew, a Presbyterian pew that have been conned into believing that just because they went through a checklist and parroted off some prayer that they are not going to die and go to hell, but yet there's never been a change in their life. Never been a change in their life. John, 1 John chapter 5 verses 13 says, "These things have I written to you that you may know." That's why we go through the Romans road. But just because you have said yes to some yes or no questions and then you recited some magic prayer does not mean that your name is written eternally in the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, hear me. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. But if I can talk you out of it, did you ever have it? Did you ever have it? What better way than to get someone to believe that everything's all right? And then one day, as the rich man wake up in hell and in torment. I want you to listen at some... Y'all know I like stats and statistics. I can't say the word very good, but I like them. I want you to listen at this. A Pew Research Center of American Trends panel from November the 23rd to 2021, there were 648 Americans, Christian, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus, and Mormons. And they were asked questions on the state of religion and things in America. Listen at these six questions, or six statements. Do you believe that there is a heaven? Do you believe that there is a hell? Now, I'm only going to give you the professing Christian response and the Protestant Christian response, okay? Because the rest of them, they lost. We expect them to have different answers to us. Amen? Do you believe there's a heaven and do you believe there's a hell? 73% of professing Christians believe that there is a hell, but only 73% believe there's a heaven, but only 62% believe that there is a hell. Protestants, praise God for this, which we are, we're defined as Protestants from the Reformation. 93% believe in heaven, but only 83% believe in hell. Now those are good numbers, don't get me wrong, but something's wrong when 17% of Protestants don't believe in hell. Because there's a flip side to everything. What did Einstein say? For everything there is an equal and opposite. How about this one? This is agree or disagree. Many religions can lead to eternal life. Of professing Christians, 88% agree that many religions can lead to eternal life. Only 13% say Christianity is the only way to eternal life, with 43% saying non-Christian religions can lead to eternal life, with 3% not answering. How about the Protestants? Not much better. 53% agree many religions can lead to eternal life. Only 16% say only Christianity can lead to eternal life, with 35% saying non-Christian religions can lead to eternal life. Folks, that makes me want to cry. My religion, meaning Christianity, my religion is the only one true faith that leads to eternal life. Agree or disagree? Only 31% agreed Christianity is the only true faith. 8% don't believe in heaven. That's professing Christians. 3% did not answer, leaving 58% believing that there at least one other true faith. Protestants, 38% agreed that Christianity is the only one true faith leading to eternal life. 7% did not believe in heaven. 3% did not answer, with 52% of the Protestant faith and religion believing at least one other faith leads to eternal life. Now, folks, I don't know about you. When we talk about faith, I talk about Christianity. I'm over denomination, okay? I'm done with denomination. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins after living a perfect life here, and that He rose up on the third day, praise God, we got more in common than we do different. Do you believe in reincarnation? 33% of professing Christians believe in reincarnation. 26% of Protestants. I hope they redefine that as having a new body. You know what I mean? I hope they confuse that with getting a new body. Do you believe that your prayers can be answered? You believe your prayers can be answered? Professing Christians say 82% say it's possible. That's good, isn't it? But listen to this. Only 59% have experienced it. Never had a prayer. That man, that is, that I ain't good at math, but that's a lot. That's 41% that's saying they've never had a prayer answered. Of Protestants, 85% say that your prayers can be answered, and 64% said that they've experienced it. That's still 36% saying that they've never had a prayer answered. And here, this is the last one. Is there such thing as divine revelation from God? Does God speak to you? Does God speak to you? Professing Christians, 81% say it's possible, with only 36% having experienced it. Something wrong there, buddy. Bad wrong there. And with Protestants, it says that 85% believe that direct revelation from God is possible, with 42% saying they have experienced it. You see something different about what they're talking about being a Christian and what I've experienced and what God has done in my life through His Son Jesus Christ. You see, my Bible tells me that there is a heaven and there is a hell. It tells me that in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that there is salvation in no other name, for there is one name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. There's only one way. That's why our faith is the only true faith. And you know what? That is a isolated, and it is a non-politically correct statement, but that does not make it any less true. There is one way. One way. Scripture tells me that as a blood-bought child of God, when I die here, I go into the presence of my God and my Savior. I don't come back as a bug or a plant or any other human type form. Praise God, I'm living in the only hell I'll ever know. I know my prayers are answered. You know why I know? Because the Bible tells me so. But every day there is a prayer that is answered in my life. When I pray, God, bring my children back home safe as they go out of my house and they come back home, that is an answer to prayer. Every day when I go out and I'm able to come back in and kiss my wife on the mouth, that's God answering my prayer, saying, let me come back home to my spouse. He's answered prayers. And I don't know what you're going through, but I tell you this, if you're a praying person every day in your life, there's a prayer answered as well. I tell you something else, God speaks to me. God speaks to me. One day, while I was up in at Camp Jubilee, sitting on a pew behind a post because I didn't want to get seen, the Holy Spirit moved on the Word of God in my life, and He drew me unto salvation. And every day since then, He's spoken to me. Why? Because He lives within me. He lives within me. You see, it's sad when 30 and 40% of professing Christians say that God's never spoke to them. It's sad when they say that they believe an answered prayer is possible, but they've never experienced it. Folks, we're living in the last days. And I don't want you to be fooled because of some checklist or some magic prayer. But I want you to know that you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because you know what? I can be 90% sure about your salvation, but the only one that can be 100% sure is you. So I want you to think about three things. And I want you to think about the word essential. The word essential means vital. A crucial part of. Inherent to. Amen? So an essential part of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, number one, is this, is that you've experienced the call of God. That you've experienced the call of God. Look what he says there as he's talking to these religious folks. Jesus says, "And ye have not the word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, you don't believe. Search the scriptures, for in them you know that you have eternal life. They testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life or that you might be saved." There is, what does it mean, the call of God? It is the initial call and summoning of God to the individual person to be reunited with their Creator whom they're at odds with. You hear that? The call of God is the initial summoning of our God to you as an individual that He wants to have a right relationship with you. Now, remember, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God." Salvation is entirely of God. Entirely of God. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 9 verse 13 says. It says, "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth thee, neither do they seek after the Lord of hosts." Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. "As it is written, there is none that is righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." As fallen creatures, as sinners, we are wrapped up in ourselves. We pursue our own personal goals. We fulfill our own desires. We care nothing about God in and of our own sinners. Now, God reveals Himself to us in many different ways. He's speaking to us, I believe, from the first time that we're born all the way up to we have that call. When you're outside and you're in nature, you know what that is? That is God telling you there is a Creator. It's like a picture that's been painted that the painter didn't sign it. We still know because of the picture that there is a painter, and that's the way that it is in creation. That is God. Every time we look out, we feel the breeze hit us in the face. We hear the birds singing in the trees. You know what that is? "Hey, buddy, how you like my work? What you think about it? You should have seen it before sin." And we're going to. That's why there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You know what else? He speaks to us through our situations. Like I said, it's just the grace and the mercy of God that I'm not dead. You know my history. You know the car accidents I've been into. I've took enough licks to the head that they might put me in the NFL system that they got there. CTD or whatever they call that thing. That's God. That's God. He speaks to me through our friends. You ever been somewhere and somebody said, "Jesus loves you," out of the blue? That's God speaking. He speaks to us through the people that pass through our lives, coming and going. I had a woman tell me one time at a bank, didn't know me from nobody, and she told me I ought to be pulling them out instead of letting people pull me back in. Got to freak you out when you're struggling with the Lord there, especially when you read Jonah that morning. But then there's something different about the call. How awesome is it that our Creator would choose on an individual basis to say, "Come." Whoa, that's good, isn't it? And He may be doing it to you right now. You've tried to ignore Him, but He's doing it. And He does it usually two ways, mainly. First off, through the Word. What does it say over in Romans chapter 10, verse 17? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, it is through the Word, it is in the Bible, that we find out who God is. That He is righteous, He is holy, and He is just, and He will judge sin. But He's also loving and merciful and kind. And He's made a way that your sin has already been judged, if you'll receive it. He tells us who we are as human beings. He says that you are made in My image and My likeness, and you are the pinnacle of creation. And everything about creation, I set it up for you. I did not put a human being on this planet until everything that you needed was provided. But He also tells us that we're rebellious. And we've rejected a holy God. And we've chosen our ways over His ways. And that we're worthy of judgment and punishment. But then He tells us of a salvation story. And it's all wrapped up in one little verse, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. There's enough truth in that verse to save the world. To save the world. So have you heard that call? It's essential. Now, nobody wants to die and go to hell. I get that. And if you could scare everybody into heaven, praise God. But have you heard Him say, you felt that tug in your heart, where He takes the truth of His love and He takes the truth of your worth and your value, but also our sinfulness, and He says, come. The Bible says that we're at odds to God. Basically, we're enemies with Him. But He calls anyway. No man comes unto the Father, nor no man comes unto Me unless My Father calls him. John chapter 6, verse 44. You see, the call of God is essential. It's of utmost importance because we don't seek after Him initially. He seeks after us through creation, through circumstance, through friends, and then that still small voice. You remember Billy Graham? He'd say, oh, won't you come? Won't you come? Right now, if He's dealing with you, won't you come? And we'll get you somewhere and we'll go through the Romans Road with you so the Bible will know. If you're watching by Facebook and you're feeling that call, you right now just call out to Jesus. Just call out to Jesus. The next thing is that the next essential part is a life-altering confidence. There's a life-altering confidence that comes. Some might call it faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Now remember, all about salvation is God, not us. Now confidence is the consciousness and reliance on another. It's a belief that one will act in a proper and effective way. It is the quality or the state of mind of being certain. Matter of fact, if you look in Webster's thesaurus. There we go. Slow it down a little bit, buddy. If you look in Webster's that book by Webster, not the dictionary. If you look up confidence, it says trust, dependence, or faith. Faith. Faith is to believe with especial strong conviction. To trust. You see, many times we read this verse here that our salvation is by grace through faith, and we think that it's just the salvation that's a gift. No, no, no. The faith that leads unto salvation is a gift from God. You get that? Listen, it says this, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, For by the grace given to me, I say unto everyone among you, not to think more highly than themselves than you ought to, but to think soberly according to the measure of faith given to every man. Now, specifically what he's talking about there is our spiritual gift. You know, we preach, we teach, administration, singing, or whatever. And because we have confidence that God has given us that specific gift, we use it in faith, right? I'd have never stood up here preaching before I got saved. I'd have never sang. I wouldn't have done that. Why? Because I didn't have faith that I could do it. But God has given me that faith that I have confidence in the gift. And so see, think about this. Every man, every woman has been given a measure of faith. And so saving faith that you have, the day that you got saved, you didn't conjure it up on your own. God Himself gave it to you. He put it in your heart. He put. Now, I'll say this. Hey, people that believe in, people that believe in evolution and things like that, they've got faith and they're placing faith in certain things. They're misusing their faith. But that is a God-given gift. You remember, now think about this. Do you remember when over in Mark chapter 9, remember when the father brought the demon-possessed son to the apostles and they couldn't do it, and then finally Jesus came along, and you remember Jesus came there and he asked the father some questions, and in Mark chapter 9 verse 22, I believe it is, he says to the father, anything impossible if you believe. You remember that? Do you remember how the man responded? Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I need more faith. Give me more faith. That's so much more profound when we recognize that the gift of faith is that leads to salvation. You see, and faith is more than just believing. The idea of knowing something is actual. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, that the demons believe that there is a God, and they tremble. No, you see, I can have faith, or I can believe, when I see the man jump out of the plane with the parachute, I can say in principle that I believe that that parachute will do its job and that it will carry me down and safely bring me to this earth. But a practicing belief or a practicing faith does not become reality until I strap on that parachute and I jump out of that thing and I let it float me down to the ground. Because you know what? I ain't got that faith. And I ain't going to be jumping out no plane with nobody else's parachute or my parachute. It just ain't going to happen. Because I ain't putting that much stock in that parachute. Now let me ask you right now. Have you put that much stock in Jesus? You see what I'm saying? There's a practical faith. There's a practicing faith. And believe you me, I think the lines are being drawn in America. Fastly being drawn. Can I tell you this? We're living in a time that there's nothing that we can count on. Nothing we can believe. You know the only thing I got faith in? The blood of Jesus and this book. That's all I got. Man, with AI and all that stuff, you can't believe what you hear. You can't believe what you see. I don't trust my government. They're trying to kill me, I feel like, sometimes. Where's your faith at right now? You see, it's essential that you hear the call. It's essential that there's a life-changing confidence in your life. And it is essential that there has been a burden of conviction. Don't hear that preached much, do we, anymore? Conviction. John chapter 16, beginning verse 8, and when He comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness of judgment, concerning sin because they have not believed in me, concerning righteousness because I go unto the Father and you will not see me any longer, concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. And He ain't talking about Jesus, He's talking about Satan. Don't forget that he, for a time, is prince of this world. You remember a few verses back over in John chapter 5, verse 15, it says this, the man went away and he told the Jews all that Jesus had done and healed him. And this was why Jesus was persecuted, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now and I'm working. And this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only did he break the Sabbath, but he was calling God his Father, making himself equal. I want you to think about these people. Ain't it outrageous that they were outraged that Jesus healed a paralyzed man on the Sabbath? They begin to question Christ's words. They begin to complain about His actions. They begin to to talk about the motives he had. These people rejected him. They rejected his word. They rejected his plan, all because of the way they felt, all because of their religious piety, and because they knew better than Christ Jesus. Can you imagine what's going to happen on the day when they see Jesus sitting on the throne? Can you imagine the brokenness that they should feel? That they were looking at their very Creator, the one who was the blueprint for their being. They should have felt conviction. Because they were standing in the presence of truth, but yet they rejected that truth. They rebelled against that truth. You see, today we're living in a time where salvation has become more about, look what Jesus has done for you, and guess what He'll do for you later on if you'll just give Him the shot. And let me say that Jesus loves you like nobody else loves you. But do you know, have you ever heard of the Great Awakening? 1700s. It was kicked off by a man named Jonathan Edwards. And he preached a little simple sermon called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And he preached that sinners were dangling over the flames of hell. And as they walk upon the slippery rocks of life, at any moment their foot can slip off of that rock and they'll plunge headlong into the eternal, everlasting flames of torment of hell. And it's not that the hands of God throwed you into that flames, but you rejected Him. You refused to allow Him to be the Creator. You rejected His law. You rejected His Son. You rejected His salvation. You chose, and at any moment, the mat that we stand on can break, and if we don't know Jesus, we'll go to hell. That don't fill the church houses no more, though. But can I tell you this today? I'm guilty. I'm guilty of breaking the laws of God. I'm guilty of saying that my way is more important than His way. I'm guilty of saying I'd rather there not be a God than for me to have to live for Him. But one day when the call came, you see, that's what conviction means. In the Greek, the word is elango. I had the computer tell me that one. Elango. To expose. To reveal one's flaw. To convince of a fault. You hear that quietness right there? That's the Holy Spirit calling. Let me tell you something about conviction. It doesn't stop when you get saved. Praise God, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. Remember how God speaks to us through the Word and through the Spirit? He draws us. That same Spirit moves in. And when we drift out of God's will, guess what? That conviction is there. Saying, you my boy, you my girl, you my prince, you my princess. You ought not be wearing those dirty garments. I've got a better garment for you. Won't you come? Won't you come on home? Come on back. And you know what the Bible says? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Y'all got to listen faster, okay? The next is this. With conviction, there must be sincere contrition. Sincere contrition. 2 Corinthians 7:10 For godly grief produces a repentance that leads unto salvation. For see what earnest this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to cleanse and clear yourself, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourself innocent in the matter. You see, contrition simply means repentance. If you look it up in Webster's dictionary, it just says repentance. And repentance means to turn away from. Do you know that? Repentance was the authentic and original message of John the Baptist. Matthew 3:1 In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye. for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that is the same message that Jesus preached in His ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, for at that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, repentance is a life-changing act. It's when one's attitude and actions change. One author I read behind said that there's three basic definitions of repentance. The first is a U-turn, a 180. If you go in the wrong direction, you're heading the wrong way to where you want to get to, what happens? You do a U-turn and you head the opposite way. Remember a while ago, we said that with conviction, what happened? I was convinced, I was rebuked, I was shown that I was in rebellion to God, but He is worthy. He is worthy of me living for Him. He is worthy of me recognizing Him. He is worthy of me turning around and stop living for self and stop being selfish. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to live for You. You know what? Whether He ever gave us eternal life, He'd still be worthy of it, because He's Creator and we're not. But Him in His love and mercy, He offers us benefits. He does. Then there's another one. Another definition for repentance that they gave was to accept the invitation. To accept the invitation. Won't you come? Won't you come? I've got forgiveness. I'm ready to be restored with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to build you a home in my community where you'll be at forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'm going to give you a brand new body. And I'm going to wipe away every tear from your eye. And I'm going to let you be with your loved ones for an eternity. But more importantly, you'll be with the One who loved you enough to give His life for you on the cross and raise up on the third day. You ain't going to get a better deal than that. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves me. But then the next one is this. The last definition that it could be is simple to receive or to admit that you're guilty. To admit that you're guilty. How many of you has ever bore false witness or told a lie? Don't raise your hand. But guess what? You're guilty. We're guilty. The Bible says if you try to live up to the standard of the law but you fail in one, you're guilty of it all. Book of James. And then last thing is that there has to be a confession. There has to be a confession. What did Jesus... Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. Romans Road, this is the destination, right? If you want to get somewhere, you got to know where you're going. The Bible says this, because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Confession in the Greek is two words put together, homo and logos. The same word to speak the same, to say the same thing. What did Jesus say? What does God say? God says, I'm a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also tells me that I got a Creator that loves me, and He wasn't satisfied to leave me to my own demise. That's why He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. For 33 years, Jesus lived a sinless life. Yet He died as a criminal. And the very blood that He shed cleanses me from sin. And on the day that He died on that cross, it was just as I dying with Him. And when He was carried down in that borrowed tomb, my life of sin was carried down in that borrowed tomb. And on the third day when He resurrected, hallelujah, I came up with Him with all my sins and all my failures put in that tomb. And now I am righteous with God. To them who believe on His name, He gave them power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. I don't just call Him God today. I call Him Abba, Father. I say the same thing that He said. What does it say? Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and following. So everyone who acknowledges before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father which is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny them before my Father in heaven. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 8. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels in heaven. But whoever denies me before men will be denied before the angels in heaven. I'm going to ask our piano player and our song director to come. There's a couple ways that we confess Jesus. Praise God, one of the most awesome ways is like we did in Vacation Bible School, and those three young ladies, we went back there to the back and we went through what the Bible says, and they asked Jesus into their heart, and we came back out here and they publicly told you that they came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Then there's the path of obedience. Baptism. Praise God, the Bible tells us if you believe and you are baptized. I tell you this, I believe in the thief on the cross. He went to heaven without baptism. But I've seen very few and far between of people who have not followed through in believer's baptism that stayed committed. But more importantly than that public profession, more important than that public baptism is this one. That we live every day as a confession and a profession of our faith and our service to Jesus Christ by obediently living for Him and not for ourselves. Just like conviction doesn't stop on the day that we get saved, neither does confession. It is an everyday thing. You know why? Because every day Jesus represents me. You're mine. I'm yours. Hallelujah. So again today, I'm not here trying to talk you out of your confession. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation, but there are essential things. And a lot of them happen all at once. But also at the same time, there's some of them that's got to continue on in your life. Have you heard that call? Just to you. For me, it was like butterflies and nervous stomach and all that up on the inside. I remember being in my house raised by a preacher, not believing if I could even be saved anymore. My daddy says this, if you're worried about it, son, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. How about that life-altering confidence? That you trust Him more than you do the rising of the sun or the next breath in your body. That gift, not just of salvation, but of faith unto salvation. What about that burden of conviction? Have you come to a point, I know you don't want to die and go to hell, but have you realized that you're deserving of punishment? That you've broken God's law? We see Him as finite, but He is infinite. He is the elephant. We are the ant. But yet we bow our chest up. And yet He says, come. How about the sincere contrition? Lord, I'm sorry. Not sorry that I got caught. Sorry that I've dishonored You. I've rebelled against You. I've rejected You. And then lastly, the contrition and the confession. I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. Jesus loves you enough that He died on the cross for you not to go to hell. And John 3:16 says this, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's for you today. And if you don't know that you know that you know, I would love to show you what the Scripture says about salvation. Maybe today you need to rededicate your life. Maybe it's something else. The altar is open. But maybe today you need to become a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. Whatever it is, Jesus is more than enough. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, right now I hand it over to You again. It's been Yours the whole time, but God, if whatever needs to be done in hearts and minds, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Won't you stand with me this morning? God bless you, Lord. I'm thankful for you. Hello, sister. Give me a hug. God bless you, man. Proud of you. You can hug me too. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Brian. If y'all will just stand up here this morning. Anyone else today? Whatever the need is. Whatever the need is. And I want to tell you this. We're a room full of saved sinners. You know that? We're not perfect. We don't have to wear a face of perfection. The Bible tells us that we're to be honest with one another. We're to be open with one another. We're just a bunch of people that love Jesus, but He loves us more. And praise God, He says that we're to confess our faults one to another. I challenge you to find somebody that you can be honest with. You ain't got to, don't publish it in the church, because blue-haired Betty will get a hold of it and it'll be all over the town. But find you somebody that you can be honest with, because that'll be strengthening. That'll help strengthen you. Praise God. Anyone else this morning? All right, I'm going to ask y'all to introduce yourself, because I'll mess up on saying somebody's name. So, Brother Brock, if you would, and we'll go down the line.
I'm Brock Hall. We just moved here a couple months ago from Ohio.
I'm Rachel Hall.
And God has blessed me to be able to sit in their home and get to know these lovely men and women very good. And they've come this morning to join Thomas Village Baptist Church as their home church. Amen. Praise God, they done got their letters coming down from the churches up yonder and down there. But is there anything y'all would like to say, any testimony or something that y'all have on your heart this morning? Is anything?
I thank the Lord that I'm very thankful that out of all places, we started looking in much different areas, like in Tennessee. The way God has worked it out, I'm just very thankful. Long story short, God allowed
them to. Amen. And man, they got a nice place. Now, made me jealous. Anyone else?
You know, in coming down here, I come down here on a Sunday evening. By Tuesday evening, I had a job.
Amen.
within the same day I went out and looked, he provided me a job.
Praise the Lord.
You know, God answers prayers.
Yes, Lord.
In fact, God answers prayers you didn't even ask. You know, I didn't pack my lunch on Thursday, and I got sent to a supplier, and they were having lunch that afternoon. And I didn't even ask for a prayer in his house. I was just going to wait to eat when I got home.
Amen.
You know, it God answers prayers, and He even answers your needs, even if you don't ask for them.
Amen.
If you're faithful to Him, He'll be faithful to you.
Matthew chapter 5, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? You never know. You get a good meal out of it. You know? It's not about salvation. We've talked about salvation. I feel great about where they stand with the Lord again. Like I ask anybody when they come, are you saved? Because we're a group of believers. Amen. That's what the church is. Number two, are you willing to do whatever God calls you to do? Use that gift. Step out on faith. And number three is simply this. If there's ever a sin that becomes a struggle in your life, will you allow us to help and to be with you in the midst of it? And praise God, that's what we're gathered here together. Amen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask y'all if y'all would to come stand at the door back yonder and let everybody tell you how great it is to have y'all, okay? Anything else before we close? Ain't it good? All the time. Amen. And I got a pretty tie.
Amen.
A pretty tie. All right. Brother Paul, would you close us out in a word of prayer?